I do have a very interesting message. I don't have a lot of notes this morning. I'm going to be preaching from right here, from my heart. But I have something that the Lord, I believe, has spoken to me. This is going to be an interesting title. I'm going to preach a prophetic message today about frogs in the pond. Frogs in the pond. I know you're wondering where I'm getting that title from. It's found right here in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Now, I want you to underline some things in your Bible or take some notes. The great river Euphrates. Now, if I had time this morning, I would show you pictures. This massive river that flows all through West Asia literally gives water to Syria, Iraq, so on and so forth. It is a massive river. The way I would describe this river is like the Columbia River. I've been to this river, by the way, so I can tell you what it looks like firsthand. It looks like the Columbia River flowing through Nashville. This is a massive river. It supplies, multiplied tens of millions of people with water and is responsible for help growing all of the crops. So this is a large river. So with that in mind, look at what Jesus said, the Word of God says is going to happen. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up. Now, just put your finger right there. Look here. One of the ways that I know that we're living in the last days is all the prophetic signs that are being fulfilled in our generation. Every generation has believed since Jesus left this planet and ascended to the right hand of the Father that he was coming back in their time. Every generation believed that they were the last day generation. There was a great doctrine in the early church that we've lost now in our modern church movement. It's called the doctrine of imminence. Everybody lived with an expectancy that Jesus was coming. Proof of this is when you get into the epistles, you have Paul having to write letters to warn people not to believe these stories that were spreading around that Jesus had already come and everybody had missed it. Everybody was living with such great expectation about the coming of the Lord, believing that they were the final generation, that when a rumor went around that Jesus had already come, everybody in the modern church at that time freaked out. So they're having to write things about that. They're having to warn every generation that you could be the final generation. So every generation since Jesus has believed that they're living in the last days. What makes us different is that we have things that have happened in our time that have not happened in any generation that have unlocked all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Thousands, hundreds of prophecies that could have never been fulfilled before 1948 and Israel becoming a nation and 1967 and Jerusalem becoming the capital. One of the many hundreds of prophecies that are told to us about the last days that gives us a signpost of how close we are to the coming of the Lord is found right here in Revelation 16. The prophets prophesy that the great river Euphrates will dry up. Now, I want to challenge you today when you go home because I don't want to take my time going through pictures. But I want to challenge you today when you go home to Google water shortage on the great river Euphrates or water shortage on the Euphrates River. What you're going to find out is much of this river that was as big as Columbia River is now less than half the size of when the generators aren't flowing at the Caney Fork. In many places, it is less than half as wide as this room. The water on the Euphrates River is literally drying up right now. Recently, the United Nations has issued a humanitarian crisis, which is immediately affecting 15 million people at this current moment because literally food shortages are spreading like crazy. People have no water to drink. Iraq is dry. Syria is dry. Other major nations are drying up because, as the prophets foretold, the great river Euphrates will dry up. Now, some of this has to do with drought. Some of it also has to do with man-made so-called solutions to the global warmings of their time, quote-unquote, fill in the blank. Right? And so they have built check dams all across. Every nation has built major check dams, Turkey being one of the primary nations. And literally they're shutting off the water for tens of millions of people downstream. So with the combination of droughts and nations trying to hold on to what water they have, it's literally drying up the River Euphrates. So as we sit here in this room today, as we sit here, prophecy is being fulfilled in front of your eyes. And the Bible tells us that when this river dries up, a few things happen. Number one, notice the Bible says it makes way for the kings of the east. So the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Right now, China is one of those nations that prophetically is looming large in the last days. And God is going to put a hook in the jaw of the kings of the east. Now, some people have wondered if this is the Arabic kings of the east or is this the Asian kings of the east. I believe it's going to be a combination of all of the above because of oil, water, and everything else that's going to be key factors in the last days. Are y'all with me? Shout yes. All right. So the kings of the east can come and join the Antichrist in the gathering of the nations against Jerusalem at the culmination of the Battle of Armageddon. So this is being fulfilled to make way for that. But notice what happens in verse number 13, and this is where I'm going to preach for just a little bit this morning. And I saw three unclean spirit like frogs. I want you to underline unclean spirits. I want you to underline the word like, and I also want you to underline frogs. The Bible says they are coming out of the mouth. Underline the word mouth. They're coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, in the margin, if you're going to take some notes, here's what I would write down. Number one, they're coming out of the mouth of the dragon. This is a spiritual dimension, a spiritual system, the realm of the spirit. They're coming out of the mouth of the beast. This is the world's system. Secular system. They're coming out of the mouth of the false prophet. This is the church. This is the church. Because when you get over into Revelation 17, the very next chapter, you have Babylon, Mystery Babylon. In Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon is a false religious system that are making the kings of the earth intoxicated with the wine of her immorality. Revelation 18 is a physical Babylon that falls, which is an economic system that crashes. But Revelation 17 is a false system. So watch this. These unclean spirits, which are demons, are coming out of the mouth of the Trinity, a satanic Trinity. Number one, the mouth of a spiritual dimension, the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the world's dimension, the world system, which is the mouth of the beast, and then the mouth of the false prophet, which is the church. Okay? A false church. Is everybody tracking with me on that? I'm going to preach all this. Going to make sense in just a moment, but you got to let me work a little bit. For they are the spirits of demons. Say that out loud with me. For they are the spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, in order for me to really have you understand what I'm trying to communicate this morning, I need to deliver a principle of interpretation to you. There is a lot of principles of interpreting the Bible, like scripture interpreting scripture, the laws of first mention. If you want to see where something is, you can go to the first mention of it. By the way, frogs are first mentioned in Egypt, right? Which I might come back and preach on next week. Because one of the things that amazes me is one of the plagues is the plagues of frogs. The reason there was a plagues of frogs, even to this day in Egypt, the frog is a god. It's the god of prosperity. So God, when he judged Egypt, one of the plagues he sent was a plague of frogs. Frogs in the cupboard. Frogs in the cereal. Frogs in the refrigerator. Frogs in the toilet. Come on, somebody. Frogs in the closet. And whenever Moses came to Pharaoh and said, do you want me to lift this thing? Moses or Pharaoh said, give me one more night with these frogs. The reason he was not quick to to take the frogs out is because he thought maybe the gods were actually giving him a sign that he was going to prosper him in the middle of the judgment. So he said, I would rather have the prosperity, and he wanted one more night with the frogs. I might preach that next week. I don't know. But frogs are the spirits of demons. So there are these principles of interpretation. I'm going to get myself back on track here. The principles of interpretation. One of the principles of interpretation is something called the like as principle. The like as principle. Say that with me. The like as principle. All right. It's symbology throughout the Bible. And these symbols are something in the natural world that are like something in the spirit world, and vice versa, something in the spirit world that is like something in the natural world. The Bible is full of this. I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 20. This is actually a principle found in the scripture. Go with me, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And for those of you who are new here, many times I will not put scriptures on the screen because I want you to bring a Bible to church. Coming to church without a Bible is like eating spaghetti without a fork. Get a lot on you, not a lot in you. I didn't come to throw food at you. I came to feed you. Right? As Christians, we need to know our Bibles. All right, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Look at this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him, God, nor were thankful, and became futile in their own thoughts. So Romans 1:20 lays out this like-as interpretation principle. Basically says that I can understand the glory of the eternal spirit realm of God by simply looking at the natural realm. That there are many things in the natural realm that are like the spirit realm. And there are things in the spirit realm that I can pull from if I will also compare them to things in the natural realm. Now, that does not mean that I need to worship those things. Romans 1 goes on to tell you what happens when you turn the glory of God into natural things. You reduce the glory, you dumb down the glory of God to nature. So it's not that we're to say that nature is God. What we're simply saying is nature reveals God. Nature reveals God. So let me give you just a few examples of this. For example, if you want to understand the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one of the things you can do is study water. Study water. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. John said, this spake he of the Spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit is water, but the moving of the Holy Spirit is also like water. You could also compare it to a dove. Remember, the Holy Spirit fell like. It wasn't. It was like. It was as. Like as a dove descending on Jesus. Now, why study water? Because water takes on the form of whatever contains it. I'm going to say that again. Water takes on the form of whatever contains it. So if you want to know how the Holy Spirit moves, it takes on the form of whatever contains it. If you want to understand the anointing, that is the power of God in demonstration on a person's life, all you've got to do is study oil. Because in the Bible, oil is compared to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because oil always flows down just like the anointing. It is, if the head is properly anointed, so will the rest of the body be. This is Psalm chapter 133. Anointing goes into the garment. It doesn't go into the flesh. Right? If I were to pour oil on you, it would get in your garment, but it won't get in your flesh. So the Bible says you can't anoint flesh. Why? Because flesh can't absorb the oil. So if you want to know about the anointing, how it works, all you got to do is study oil. And it'll tell you about the anointing working in a person's life. If you want to know about Jesus or God the Father, then you can study rocks. The Bible compares God to a rock. He's the rock of ages, cleft for me. Come on. Let me hide myself in thee, right? So he's a rock. Now, why is that? Because God is stable. He is sturdy. I can build my house upon the rock, and the winds and the waves can beat, the storms can come, but I will not be moved because my God is a rock. He is the chief cornerstone, a rock of the church. So if I want to know about God, I just go out to the riverbank, pick up a rock, and I study rock, and I can get some understanding, revelation of the glory of God in something that is natural. If you want to know about men, all you got to do is study trees, because the Bible says that men are like trees planted by the rivers. And just like men do, trees come in many forms and varieties, different shades, different heights. Come on, somebody. Some are short and fat, and some are tall and skinny. Some produce a lot of fruit. Some don't produce any fruit. Right? Some are healthy, some are dying. So if I want to know about men, I just study trees. So this is just two or three examples of the like as principle all through the Word of God. Again, if I want to study the Holy Spirit, another one, I could study wind. The Bible says he comes where he listeth. In other words, you can't control the Holy Spirit just no more than you can control the wind. You can see the effects of the wind, but you can't control the wind. You can use the effects of the wind, but you can't control the wind. So these are like as principles all through the Word of God. So what's interesting is when we come to the book of Revelation and God talking about the last days and these prophetic days in which we live, where the river Euphrates is being dried up, God reaches and grabs an unusual like as example. Three unclean spirits, like frogs, crawl out of that river. These are demonic spirits. Demonic spirits. The Bible says they crawl out of the mouth. They crawl out of the what? Mouth. So these are talking spirits. It tells you how these spirits are going to work in our day. They're a talking spirit. They flow out of the mouth. And the Bible says they are demons. This is not just spirits. These are demons that are talking demons. It's a reason we as the church need to be careful what we put our mouth on, because the devil can use your mouth just as good as the Holy Ghost can use your mouth. These are talking demons. But the Bible describes these demon spirits as frogs. Frogs. Demons that are working in the spirit realm, that are working in the secular realm, and that are working in the religious realm or the church realm all at the same time. Like a great trinity of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there is this demonic trinity of these, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, with these spirits that are coming out of their mouth in the last days to gather the kings of the earth. And to understand who those kings are, you go to Revelation chapter 1, the first mention of those kings. The Bible says you and I are kings and priests unto God. So I don't want you just to look at kings as the natural kings, even though I believe that is contextually what it's speaking to. But it's also saying these spirits could deceive even the elect if we're not discerning. So it says they're like frogs. Frogs in the pond. Now, I know I don't look like it, but my grandfather had a little house in the country, and my daddy loved to eat frog legs. Right? Anybody in here ever eat frog legs? You know, as my grandson said, it tastes like chicken. Why does everything taste like chicken? Have you ever noticed that? The only thing sometimes don't taste like chicken is chicken. And frog legs taste like chicken, and my dad would like to go frog gigging. Yeah, y'all country like I am. So anyway, big sticks, for those of you who've never done it, you've never lived. Big long stick with forks on the end of it. And what you did was you walked around with a flashlight. As you can see their little eyes. You shine that light, and the light blinds them. The light would get them starstruck. They just sat there looking at the light. And like Rambo, anybody ever done this side of me? You ever done this, Jason Murphy? Like Rambo, you sneak up there. You're walking in this muddy pond. We'd take our shoes off, and you could feel the mud squishing between your toes. And with the light on, you gig that frog, frog gigging, right? You gig that frog. You pull the frog up. Frog legs are jumping. You take these frogs home. You'd skin them. You'd batter them up. You could cut the legs off the frog. An hour later, they still jumping. Some of these California folks are like, but it's crazy. I moved over here to eat frogs. Right? Am I telling the truth about the frog legs? They're jumping. I mean, you could put them in the freezer. They'd be in there a month. You take them out, put them in grease. Those legs are jumping. And then you put them on the table and you eat them. Huh? Alicia, they're gluten-free. It tastes like chicken. They are. Now, I'm not an expert at frogs, but I've killed my fair share. And I've learned some things about frogs I want to pass on to you, because the Bible says these spirits are like frogs, and they're working in our day in which we live, and they're demons. One of the things you'll notice about frogs is they're a little hard to catch. We used to try to catch frogs. My mom would say, don't catch them. Don't bring them frogs in here. You get warts on your hands. Come on, y'all. How many's ever heard that wives' tale? Well, if that be the case, I'd be one giant wart, as many frogs as I've caught. Right? But you sneak up on those frogs, and you go to catch them, and notice what happened. You go reach out, you get there real close like this. You go to catch them. They were the slyest little things. All of a sudden, they jump down in the water. You'd lose them. They're real hard to catch. Be looking for them. All of a sudden, they pop up over here. You go over here, get your hands on it. It go under, and my pop up back over there somewhere. You ever felt like you fought spiritual battles like that? That whatever you were fighting, about the time you got your hand on it and you got a grip on it, it just disappeared? And you thought it was gone? Well, I conquered that devil, and then all of a sudden, over there he is. Another thing about frogs live in shallow water. You'll never find frogs living in deep water. Let the Lord talk to you. Frogs like dingy, dirty, shallow water. Another thing about frogs is they don't like running water at all. They want it to be stagnant. The deader, the nastier, the better. Because that brings bugs. And frogs that eat anything they can get in their mouth. Anything they can get in their mouth. They're not discerning about what they eat. Anything that they can get in their mouth, they'll put it in their mouth. Slimy. Tricky little things. Shallow water. Don't want any movement. Reminds me of a lot of Christians. And frogs hop from pond to pond. So what will happen is, when we were hunting frogs, we learned something, that if we put enough pressure on the frogs here, they would go to the neighbor's pond. Reminds me of a lot of church people. About the time you think you got a hand on them, they pop up over here. Put a little pressure on them, tell them they need to start living right, need to quit eating everything that comes their way, and next thing you know, they hop to another pond. They don't like deep water. They don't want the deep things of God. Just, tell us we're saved every week and the grace of God covers our sin every week and we'll be satisfied with living in the shallow water and we're not going to get clean. We want to stay close to something dirty so that way every now and again when we want to, we can dive back down into the mud and we can live just as dirty as we want only to emerge and sit on our little lily pad and act like everything is all right in our life. Am I preaching good yet? Three unclean spirits like frogs. Gribbit. 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 Come on, say it. Gribbit. You ever notice you go out and hear these frogs and they're croaking all the time? Gribbit. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's a toad frog, for those of you who don't know what that is. How many think they're talking to each other? They're not talking to each other. Actually, what you're hearing, you don't hear the language. They actually chirp. That's how they talk to each other. When they want to mate, they croak. So what you're hearing when you hear them whoop is he's sending out a mating call. And in 32 years of pastoring, what I found is there can be a frog that's unclean on this side of the church and give a croak. And another frog on this side of the church that's living in the same sin, they'll find each other and not even know they like each other. And then when they get together, they have little babies. And the little babies look like fish. Tadpoles. They look like fish, but they're not fish. For those of you pastors who are watching me today, you better be careful who you let in your church. It could be another frog from another pond that's bringing in some of that stuff into your church. And I know you think they're going to produce fish, but they're not producing fish. They're producing more unclean spirits like them. Frogs. Put my frogs in the pond back up there. I like the frogs in the pond. They lay their eggs on dead things. Oh, one more thing. I got to give you one more thing about a frog. Have you ever noticed a frog doesn't have a neck? The number of legs. You ever notice a frog don't have a neck? You know why that is? Because he can't repent. He can't turn around. You can preach truth to him all day long. You can tell him what the Word of God says, and he'll see it as plain as the nose on his face, but he can't repent and go the other direction. Now watch now. These frogs are not only coming out of the dragon's mouth, not only in the world system's mouth, but these frogs are in the church. We got frogs in the pond. I was up in Ohio and the Lord spoke to me and said, You tell them we got frogs in the pond. I said, Lord, what are these frogs? And he said, I told you, they are talking spirits. They're talking spirits. They come out of the mouth. And then I realized something that I haven't taught in our Revelation series is that Jude is the gateway to the book of Revelation. Jude is the door to the book of Revelation. And then I remembered that in the book of Jude, there is a mention of three demonic spirits that attack the body of Christ in the last days. Would you like to see what those spirits are and what they look like? Go with me to the book of Jude. This is right before the book of Revelation, for those of you who are new to Bible study. Go to the book of Jude, and we're going to start at verse number 8. I think they'll pick up in the back on the video booth in verse number 10. Jude, it's only one chapter. It's only one chapter. You're seeing it right. Jude, verse 8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring a railing accusation against, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, here's the context. Look right here. Do you realize what's being said here? The writer is addressing an issue that's going on in the body of Christ. There is spirits that are loose in the church at this time. They are talking spirits. And the Bible says they're putting their mouth on authority. Now, we don't have any problems in this church, so I'm not talking about me, but eventually it'll come around to me. Right? They're putting their mouth on authority. And the Bible says they're filthy dreamers. They're filthy dreamers. In other words, they're living an imaginary life in their mind. Filthy dreamers. And the scripture says they're speaking evil of dignitaries. And he says, this is such a bad deal that not even Michael the archangel, when he was fighting with Satan about the body of Moses, Satan was saying, give me the body of Moses. Evidently, Michael knows where it's at. Satan was saying, give me the body of Moses. They're having a conflict in the realm of the spirit. And the Bible says, watch this now, that Michael would not even lift up an accusation against the devil himself. He wouldn't call him a liar. He wouldn't call him a thief. He wouldn't attack him at all. Here's his response. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord's going to take care of you. The Lord's going to deal with you. Can I ask a question? Why is it that Michael the archangel fears putting his mouth against Satan, who was once an archangel, and yet the body of Christ will get on Facebook and say the most God-awful things about spiritual leadership, whether they're right or wrong? Facebook has turned cowards into courageous idiots. This last week, a prominent minister comes out and says tithing is not biblical, and burn every tape, burn every book. Listen, as much as I disagree with that minister and can argue the scripture from front to back, I will never put my mouth on somebody who is in. You say, well, they're in error. They might be in error, but the Lord knows how to deal with them. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God. I don't get down and fight in the realm of the flesh. I keep my mouth off that stuff. And for those of you who are watching me today and feel like God has made you the Facebook prophet to reveal all error, I have a real, because there's some of you I know personally, and I have a real, I'm really close to getting online and telling them about your affairs when you put your mouth on other spiritual authority. See, here's the truth is, everybody wants to talk about everybody else's sin, but nobody wants to deal with their own sin. The Bible says we need to be careful that we judge not lest we be judged. This is killing us right now in the church. This right here is killing us right now in the church. You know why this is killing us? Because we got this spirit's at work in us. If we quit swimming in shallow water, we won't be satisfied with that right there. If we'd find some water with some current, with some living water, with a move of the Holy Ghost in it, we'll be convicted and we won't be able to do that. We won't be worried about trying to make babies just like us. Are y'all listening to me? Three unclean spirits. I didn't even get to my scripture. See how y'all do? You start pulling this stuff, and it's your fault. I can't teach real good. So, all right, let's look here. Everybody relax. It's going to get worse. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally. In other words, they speak evil of what they don't know. They don't have all the facts. They don't know. And then what they think they know is only flesh-driven. It's not spiritually driven at all. Like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them. For they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. If you want to know about that, go to number 16. You can get all the information you want about that. Three frogs in the pond. The spirits of demons on the loose. Talking spirits. Coming out of Satan's mouth, the world system's mouth. Haven't you noticed how this world system is fighting anybody and everybody who's in any kind of authority? You know, hey, let's defund the police. Right? Kind of got tickled the other day. I was reading about this young lady who's in a lot of trouble in Russia. Just 3 years ago, she was encouraging everybody in the women's NBA to take a knee. And now she wants her country that she hated so much and told everybody to move out of to come and rescue her. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. You release those demons. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to come into partnership with an evil spirit realm to bring something into this world system or into the church. I'm going to be different because I'm a child of the living God. Amen? Frogs. Gribbit. Every time I go on Facebook, gribbit. Gribbit, gribbit. Gribbit, 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 gribbit. And all they're doing is croaking, trying to find somebody who'll like them, who'll join in their corruption. Gribbit, 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 gribbit. Not knowing that the sin they think they're pointing out, they're corrupting them, their own selves. I could tell you a story, but I'm going to hold off on that because I think that will make you mad. They're talking devils. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Notice, here's your three frogs. The spirit of Cain. These are your three frogs. The spirit of Balaam. These are your three frogs. The spirit of Korah. These are the frogs in the pond. So, I'm almost done. What is the spirit of Cain or the way of Cain? It's a brother-killing spirit. Brother-killing spirit. You know, the kind of killing spirit that says if you disagree about a certain teaching, what you do is you kill one another. If you disagree about an offering, we just take a rock and hit each other over the head in the field. And we think God's not paying attention and that God doesn't see it. It's a brother-killing spirit. Listen to me, body of Christ. We have got to stop attacking each other. There is none without sin, no, not one. There is nobody perfect in this room. Now, if you have a disagreement, if you really want to call them out, make an appointment, do what the Bible says, and go to them privately. But listen to me, if you can't get to them privately, you do not have God's permission to take it public. No brother-killing spirits allowed. What I should have done is I should have had Noah to put the frogs up there, and right here I should have took the first frog and put a Ghostbuster sign across the first. Do not let the devil, in this season that we're in, use your voice, however you share your voice, to destroy other people. Don't use it. No brother-killing spirit. Because the truth is, the days we're coming into, and the possible persecution that we're coming into, we're going to need every single person that we can get to stand with us. No brother-killing spirit. Keep your mouth off each other and keep your mouth off people in authority when you don't have the whole truth. And if you can't get to them to get the rest of the story, the best thing for you to do is in disagreement, keep your mouth shut. I'm preaching good right now. You can disagree without dishonoring. But if you ever ease over into the dishonoring, you have now treaded into sinful territory. And it's no longer the Holy Ghost. It's a ghost, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. All right? So a brother-killing spirit. Everybody say a brother-killing spirit. And then we have the error of Balaam. What is Balaam? Balaam is the compromising spirit. The compromising spirit. Balaam said, hey, how we can get the people of God to curse themselves is we'll bring women in, we'll let them sleep with these women, they'll compromise their convictions, and therefore it'll open up debauchery to come into the land. We'll get them off track. It's death by distraction. Compromise. I've preached enough about that over the last couple weeks, so I'm not going to beat this dead horse. I'm just simply saying, in this season, there can be no room for compromise in anybody in this room when it comes to spiritual truth and moral issues. I don't care if it's political, spiritual, if it's church-related. There can be no room for compromise. We cannot give the devil an inch in this generation. He will take a mile. We have to stand strong on what the Word of God says. No compromising spirits hopping around in the church. Here's the third one. The gainsaying of Korah. The Korah spirit is an authority killing spirit. Watch this now. A brother killing spirit. A compromising spirit. And an authority killing spirit. Now look at me. This is working in the realm of the Spirit. These are the conversations that's going on in the realm of the Spirit right now. These are also the conversations that are being replicated in the world's system and realm. So now, compromise is an issue, killing one another over nothing is an issue. I mean, our kids are killing each other over nothing. They don't even know each other. They don't even know why they hate each other. They're killing each other over nothing. But then we've got this Korah spirit, and the Korah spirit says, let's kill authority. Let's kill authority. Now again, this isn't just in the church. This is in the world system. So we got to go after everybody and everything that's in any realm of authority. Now, again, I'm not talking about holding a people that are elected accountable. You can disagree without dishonoring. Are y'all listening to me? You can disagree without dishonoring. However, do not put your mouth on authority all the time. Through 32 years, I've counseled a lot of young people. Can I tell you the number one thing I hear behind closed doors when mama and daddy's not around? The reason your kids hate church because they sit around and listen to you talk about the deacons, talk about the elders, talk about the pastor, talk about the youth pastor, and then when they get out of your house, they don't want any part of it because all they've done is hear you kill authority, and that spirit is now on them. And many of us are praying for our children to come home. And God might not be able to answer the prayer because of the mouth that you put on your authority. Be careful. My son will tell you, you do not attack anybody in authority in my house. You don't do it. You want to fight? That's how we fight. One of the things I hate about our current spiritual climate is we can't seem to have any discussions and disagree without absolutely trying to destroy one another. That climate, folks, is in the church as well. We cannot have any disagree. Can I tell you, I know because of phone calls that I have made that there are people in very high positions of authority that are in connections with the pastor who made the statement that are planning and have already made phone calls and are going to have a meeting to find out. Let the body of Christ do its work. Keep your mouth off authority. Quit attacking people in leadership. Our kids need to hear you talk about how you love your police officers, how you honor the sheriff's department, how you think the fire department are heroes. When I grew up in school, when the police came to school and gave me a little badge, I thought I was the biggest thing on the planet. Now they show up at our schools and kids throw paper wads and spitballs at them and curse them and flip them off. Where is that coming from? It's coming from our houses. These unclean frogs have crawled out of the shallow water. Are y'all listening to me? All right. So I got one more thing I got to bring into this. Why are these spirits appearing all of a sudden? Because the river's dried up. Because the river's dried up. If we had a real move of God going on in the body of Christ, these frogs wouldn't be able to live in our pond because the current would just wash them all away. These frogs would not be able to spill their filth because the current would just wash it all away. These frogs would not be able to cohabitate and create their babies who are like baby's kids or demon spirits running around. The current would just wash them away. But what we have in the church is we have dried up. The river Euphrates is just like the body of Christ. We have compromised so much. We have killed each other so much. We have talked about authority so much. Now God's allowing the river to dry up to reveal what's been hiding under the water all the time. So don't think the devil is drying it up. It could be that God's allowing all of this stuff that we see to dry completely up so that he can reveal the wicked spirits that's been in our midst all the time. Because God said in the last days, I'm going to separate the wheat from the tares. I'm going to divide those who are really on fire and those who aren't on fire. I'm going to separate those who go to church and who are the church. I'm going to divide this thing from a remnant versus religious people. God is doing this. It's not the devil doing this. God is drying this thing up to show us what's been in our water all the time. So it could be time for the church to take the light. And instead of destroying each other, what if we started going after the frogs that have been polluting us all along? Oh, I want to go more. I just don't think they can handle it. Oh, let's go back over there. Come on, Revelation. I'm going to keep pressing here for just a moment. For those of you who don't like this, I am so sorry. I'm so burdened by it. By the way, if you'll study, you'll find out these frogs are in the sixth dimension. Six is the number of man, because these frogs operate in the flesh dimension. They don't operate in the spirit dimension. Oh, he got my Ghostbuster symbols on my frogs. I love it. These guys, they're cracking me up. Oh, my goodness. Behold, verse 15, Jesus says, I'm coming as a thief. Isn't it interesting that he would tie these frogs to his coming? Don't get distracted by the frogs. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming like a thief in the night. Blessed is he who watches, keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Go back over here to Jude. Let's read about these frogs just for a moment. Look at how the Bible describes them. Now, I want everybody to listen. I know everybody in this room, including myself, have sinned in these areas. So I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching with you. Okay? I'm simply saying we've got to be careful and guard our heart when it comes to these things. Look at what he says, verse 12. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Pretty stout words. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons, watch now, who cause divisions, having not the Spirit. I don't want that to be the definition of my life. I don't want to stand before God and God to say, let me open a book and show you how you lived your life. So the question is, how do we guard ourselves from this? How do you keep yourself from going into this frog pond and becoming one? He tells you, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do I do this? I get so full of the Holy Ghost, there's no room for anything else. I get so full of the Holy Ghost, there's no other ghost that can dwell in this temple. I get so full of the Holy Ghost. I'm so built up in the Spirit of God, so strong in the things of the Spirit realm that there's no room for anything else. I want to submit to you. The reason we make way for these spirits is because we really haven't made way for His. Corporately and privately. When's the last time you found a place by yourself, locked yourself up in a room, and prayed in the Holy Ghost for a while? See, the Holy Ghost will put a check on your mouth. The Holy Spirit will put a check on your mouth. You go to say something you shouldn't say, or you let it get out of your mouth, the Holy Ghost will say, you shouldn't have said that. He'll put a check on your mouth. We've got to get full of the Holy Ghost, people. And for God's sake, we've got to start letting the Holy Spirit loose in our church services again and letting Him do whatever He wants to do to build us up. We have to become stronger in this time than the world's forces, the devil's forces, the false prophets' forces are. We've got to become stronger. And the only way to do that is get so full of the Spirit of God that we're overflowing. My grandfather used to say, son, if you're drinking from the cup, you're not full enough. I said, what are you saying, Pop? He's saying, your cup should be so full that your cup is running over into the saucer. He said, you ought to be sipping out of your saucer. But he said, you're drinking from your cup. It ain't full. He said, get so full that nothing else can get in your cup to where you have to drink from the saucer. That's the way I want to be. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost when I walk into a place, if the wrong spirit is there, my antennas go up and say, no, not that, right? I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost, if I'm getting into a relationship with somebody that I don't need to be in relationship with, that the antennas of the Holy Ghost will say, don't you get there, get close to them. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost, if I'm going into a business partnership and I don't belong in that business, that the Holy Ghost will alert me and let me know where and what I need to be involved in. I need to get so full of the Holy Ghost that I quit yelling at my wife and my wife quit yelling at me and we quit fighting in our house. I need to get so full of the Holy Ghost that I can't stand around and talk about other church people because I'm trying to win the lost so much I don't have time to talk about everybody else and what they're doing. I need to get so full of the Holy Ghost I can't stand it. And if we get full of the Holy Spirit like that, there'll be no room for frogs in the pond. Stand with me. I'm done. Billy Joe, if you guys will come. Y'all okay? I said, are you guys okay? I want us, everybody in this room, forget about who's standing around you right now. I want you to bow that head. With your head bowed right there, forget about who's around you. This is not about your neighbor. This is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need you to let the Holy Spirit talk to you now. What has God the Holy Spirit been saying to you while I've been preaching? Is God the Holy Spirit illuminating some conversations that maybe you've had you shouldn't have? Is God the Holy Spirit convicting you about attitudes that you've had that you shouldn't have? Well, don't be like these frogs that don't have a neck. God gave you a neck so that you could turn around and go the other direction. Now, everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you're here in this building or the thousands that are watching around the world, everybody under the sound of my voice has sinned and fallen in one of these three areas. I know you were frustrated. I know you were angry. I know you were hurt. But we sinned and we fell in one of these three areas. Right now, by faith, with humility, I want you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and I want you to go ahead and gig those frogs. If they're swimming around in the pond of your life, I want you to put them to death right now. I don't care how much they fight. I don't care how much they kick. I want you to make sure they're dead, and I want you to ask the Lord right now, say, Lord, just forgive me for putting my mouth on things I shouldn't have put my mouth on. Forgive me for attitudes that haven't been right. Forgive me for judging when I don't even know the whole matter. Forgive me for reaching conclusions when I'm not even sat down with people face to face. Forgive me for sinning in these areas. Lord Jesus, we don't want these frogs in our pond. We don't want these frogs in our church. We don't want these frogs in our family. So today we ask you to forgive us and help us put to death every single one of these unclean spirits that is motivated by demons to bring destruction. And Lord, not only in the church and in our personal life, but God, right now in America, we lift up America to you. God, our nation is in trouble. Division is around every corner. The end is going to be death to a nation if something doesn't happen. Lord God, I pray right now that you would expose these unclean spirits that are attacking our nation, that is pitting brother against brother, people against authority, trying to destroy one another for reasons we don't even know. And Lord, we know there are people in high places that are working agendas to try to divide America for the purpose of conquering.
We say in the name of Jesus, Father, send forth warring angels right now to those high places and pull down every unclean, ungodly, demonic principality and stronghold in our nation. And Lord, bring a nation back to you again in the name of Jesus. 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 Now right there, if you're comfortable, could you lift up hands? They're going to sing this. I want us just to worship for a minute. And let's see what the Holy Spirit says.
Jesus. Jesus.
There's just something.
There's just something about that name.
Sing it, Master, Savior.
Master, Savior.
Jesus.
Jesus.
It's like a fragrance after the rain.
Like a fragrance after the rain.
Come on, sing Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
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 Let all heaven
and earth proclaim.
Come on, with those hands lifted, declare this kingdom. Kingdoms will all pass away.
Jesus
and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Now just for a moment, with every head bowed, I do not want to leave this place. Sam did a wonderful job earlier telling you how much Jesus loves you, that he would reach down way low. And I know that there's people in this room that you feel like you're at the lowest place of your life. You feel like that you're not loved, you're not cared about, there's no hope for you. But I want to tell you, if God can save Sam, if God can deliver him, he can do it for you as well. There's nobody who's too low that the loving, long arm of Jesus can't reach. So before we dismiss this service, I'm going to ask you, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because if you don't know him, you're in a great place today. You're in a church who will celebrate with you as you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're in here right now, nobody looking around, this is you and God. If you're in here right now and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. Jesus is not the Lord of my life, but this morning I want to make Jesus the Lord of everything. I want to give him my whole life. I'm not talking about saying just a sinner's prayer. I'm saying you want to surrender your whole life to Jesus and make him Lord. Right now in this room, heaven is waiting to record your answer. Heaven is literally peering over the sapphire seals of heaven's gates, and they're looking at you right now to see what answer you're going to make. If you're in here and you're not right with Jesus, they're waiting to see what you're going to do. If you say, Pastor, I'm not right with Jesus, but today I'm giving him everything, and I'm not ashamed to let heaven know it. I want you right now in this room, get your hand in the air. Get your hand in the air. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand back there. God bless you. I see that hand back there. Anyone else say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus, but I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life this morning. Get your hand up. God bless you. Who else? Who else? All right, put those hands down. Everybody look right here. We had five people that lifted their hand and said, I want to make Jesus Lord of everything. Right? Now, I want you to hear me. I got good news for you. I believe that when you lifted your hand, heaven came rushing to your seat. I really do. I believe that when you lifted your hand, heaven began to record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that with all of my heart. Because the Bible says if you call upon the Lord, He'll not cast you out, right? However, there is something powerful by making a statement before men. I don't know why Jesus did it this way, but this is what He said. If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So I believe heaven rushed to you, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have about four or five of my prayer team members to come right here. Just come right here. Go ahead, guys. Come on. Waiting on you. Come right here. If you lifted your hand, everybody listen, if you lifted your hand or you didn't, and you know you should have. Last week I was in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. 37 people came running to the altar and gave their life to Christ. Tulsa, Oklahoma, altars filled with people. And listen, they didn't walk. They wanted Jesus so bad, they were pushing chairs out of the way, people out of the way, and they were running to Jesus. The greatest thing you'll ever do is make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. I should have been Southern Baptist because I believe in salvation being such a wonderful miracle. If you're in here, you lifted your hand or you didn't, and you know you should have, I want you right now, get out of your seat and come this way. All you're simply doing is saying, excuse me, I'm going to go get that great life that this preacher just told me that I could have. We're going to wait on you as they sing this one more time. And I want everybody to forget about who's around you. And I want you to love on Jesus like you believe He's right here with you. Something about. Come on, brother. There's four others that lifted their hand. Come on. He's my Savior. He's my Jesus. Like a fragrance. After the rain. Come on, with those hands lifted, open that mouth and sing Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Come on, let's say this out loud. Kings and kingdoms. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Come on, sing it. Kings and kingdoms, they're going to all pass away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's our Master. He's my Savior. Come on, sing Jesus. Like a fragrance after the done. Sing Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Come on one more time. Kings and kings. Kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something Do y'all believe there's something about the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, amen. Well, it sure has been good to be in God's house with you this morning. Listen, if you're a guest, don't forget Miss Liz is going to be out there to give you your free gift for coming today. Go out there and get that free gift. Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., we're going back into the book of Revelation. This week, we've actually made it to the church of Philippi. You don't want to miss as we talk about the church of the open door and what happens in that church. So come with your Bible ready to study. Y'all ready to get out of here? God bless you guys. I love you. Hug somebody on the way out the door. Guys, put us some music on back there. Get out of here. Go have a great day in Jesus.